Our scripture reading for tonight is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And of course, in the previous chapter, chapter 4, at the very end, Paul also talks about the return of Christ, where, you know, the traditional understanding of the rapture takes place in 1 Thessalonians 4. The word is caught up. And there in 1 Thessalonians 4, of course, the church had questions about their fellow believers who have already died, yet Jesus has not yet returned. Of course, the implication is they thought that Jesus was going to come back relatively soon. Well, of course, that didn't happen. Meanwhile, fellow believers had already died, and so they had questions. Well, what about my loved one so-and-so who has already died? What will happen to him or her since Jesus has not yet returned? And Paul answers all that at the end of 1 Thessalonians 4. But this church had a lot of questions about the second coming of Christ, which brings us now to the next chapter, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11. And my message, of course, is entitled, because the words are in verse 2, like a thief in the night. And of course, this is second coming language. It's used by Jesus in Matthew 24. Peter uses it in 2 Peter chapter 3. And it's also used a couple times in Revelation. So it's second coming language. And that's what we're going to consider tonight. So first of all, the scripture reading. Chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, and there Paul uses language that he used back in 1 Thessalonians 4, whether we are awake physically or asleep, that is physically died, so whether we are alive or have physically died, we may live together with Jesus. And that takes us back to chapter 4. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So let's keep our Bibles open here to these verses. Now, people do ask questions, as they did years ago, such as, what will happen at the end of the world? Will there be a day of judgment? When will Jesus come again? And what can I do to get myself ready for the return of Christ? And what can you do to get yourself ready for the return of Christ? Well, beloved, the believers in Thessalonica had a natural curiosity about the end times. But Paul makes it clear that there was no need for him to talk about times or dates regarding the return of Christ, because it will come, as he says, like a thief in the night. Verses 1 and 2. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Remember, not even Jesus, our Lord and Savior, knew the day or hour of his return. Now, this is what Jesus said in Mark chapter 13 and verse 32. He says, no one knows about that day or hour, referring to when he comes again. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, referring to himself, but only the Father. So not even Jesus knows the day or hour of his return, but only God the Father. Therefore, just as the attack on Pearl Harbor came with no advance warning, even so the day of the Lord will come with no advance warning because, as Paul says, it will come like a thief in the night. Yes, Jesus is coming again. Praise God. But according to the Bible, there are people, and perhaps you know some yourself, there are people who do not believe this to be true. They live with a false notion of peace and safety, as though everything is okay and everything will continue to be okay no matter how they live. But instead of peace and safety, the day of the Lord will bring upon them sudden destruction with no escape. That's what Paul says in verse 3. While people are saying peace and safety, you know, everything is fine, we're enjoying life, we're having a good time, and don't tell me how to live my life. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. And the reason for that is because the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. It will catch them off guard. It will be unexpected. Now, peace and safety are good things to have in life. They're not bad words. They are good words, right? I'm sure all of us here would like to have a little bit more of peace and safety, right? So peace and safety are good things to have in life. But the Bible makes plain that peace and safety are found only in the Lord. For us as Christians, Jesus is our peace and our promise of safety. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says that Christ himself is our peace. And the reason for that is when he died on the cross, he paid the price for our redemption so that we might be reconciled to God and have peace with him. So Christ himself is our peace. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says that Jesus keeps us safe and the evil one cannot harm us. So peace and safety are good things to have in the Lord. Then in verses 4 through 10, Paul makes a contrast between those in darkness who are described as asleep and drunk, and those in the light who are described as alert, self-controlled, and dressed as a soldier, prepare for battle. And not surprisingly, those in darkness will suffer wrath, whereas those in the light will receive salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what Paul goes on to say in verses 4 through 10. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day, that is the day when Jesus comes again, you are not in darkness, so that this day, the day which is yet to be, should surprise you like a thief. Now, it will surprise others because they don't believe in this kind of talk, but it will not surprise you because you are looking forward to the day of his coming. You anticipate. You long for it. Right? So you're not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake, that is, whether we are still physically alive on this earth when he comes again, whether we are awake, physically alive, or asleep, that is, we have physically died, it doesn't matter whether we are awake or have already died, when he comes again, as Paul says, we will live together with him. So it really won't make any difference. And he says the same thing back in at the end of chapter 4. It doesn't really matter whether you are alive or you have already died. When Jesus comes again, you'll all be together with him forever. That's what he says. We may live together with him. Therefore, since the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, what should we be doing with the time that we have here on earth? Paul gives the answer in verse 11. He says in verse 11, therefore, so he's drawing a conclusion. You know, the word therefore, I was at a conference once. It was in Chicago, and the speaker said, well, when you see the word therefore, you should always ask, you know, why is it therefore? Okay, so it's Paul is drawing a conclusion based on all that he has previously said back in verses 1 through 10. So based on all that Paul has said in the previous verses, he draws a conclusion and says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. So I want to spend a few minutes that I have left with you tonight to talk about verse 11. How can you and I, in light of what Paul says here about the day of the Lord coming like a thief in the night, how can we encourage one another and, yes, build each other up? I have a few things. First, number one, we should encourage one another to fight the good fight until Jesus comes again. In verse 8, here at 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse 8, and in Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul talks about, you know, putting on the full armor of God, here in verse 8 and in Ephesians chapter 6, we are told to put on a breastplate and a helmet. Items worn by a Roman soldier in the first century to remind us that we as Christians are engaged in a battle, not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil. This is how Peter puts it in 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, be self-controlled and alert. The same language, by the way, that Paul uses here in 1 Thessalonians 5 about being self-controlled and alert. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, Peter says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, roams about or prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. You and I tonight as Christians, as God's people, have an enemy. But that enemy is not flesh and blood. It is the devil himself. Which is why we are to put on this breastplate and helmet and other such pieces of armor, because we are engaged in a battle. And at times it's a fierce battle against a very strong enemy, the devil himself. So encourage one another to fight the good fight until Jesus comes again. Let's be honest. As Christians, we sometimes struggle with discouragement because every day we face, in some measure, the darkness of this world and the temptations of the devil. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. You face, as I do, as we all do, the darkness of this world. And yes, the temptations of the devil. Therefore, what we need to do as fellow believers is to encourage one another to persevere in faith through all the trials and temptations of life, because someday we shall live together with Jesus in glory. So that's number one. Encourage one another to fight the good fight right up until the day Jesus comes again. Don't ever give up. Persevere Be steadfast. Number two, encourage one another to pray for the work of the gospel. According to Paul here in verse 9, the day of the Lord will be for us a day of salvation. But for others, it will be a day of wrath. That's what Paul says, verse 9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. And the reason is that in Christ, we have been delivered from the coming wrath, right? As Paul says, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Bible consistently teaches, the only way for anyone to avoid God's wrath is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Isn't that right? John chapter 3, verse 16, a verse we should all know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And what does it mean to perish? It means to suffer the wrath of God. And so the only way for anyone to avoid God's wrath, his coming wrath, is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ here and now. Therefore, what we need to do is to encourage one another to pray for those who are living without Christ, that God will open their hearts to the good news of salvation. To pray that God will bless the preaching of the gospel in our church and in our community. And to pray that we will, in our own words, be willing to share our Christian faith with others. You see, you don't have to be an apostle, a prophet, or an evangelist, or a minister, a pastor, to be able to share your Christian faith with someone you come in contact with. This is how the Bible puts it. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be prepared to give an answer. If someone were to come up to you in this coming week and say, you know, I've been wondering, why are you a Christian? Why do you talk about prayer? Why do you talk about reading the Bible and or something of that nature? Are you prepared to give an answer regarding your Christian faith in your own words? I hope so. So that's number two. Encourage one another to pray for the work of the gospel. Number three, encourage one another with the good news, and yes, it is good news, that Jesus is coming again. Just think, someday we shall be with Jesus in the New Jerusalem. Just read Revelation chapter 21. Someday we shall be with Jesus in the New Jerusalem, where there will be no more sorrow, pain, or death. Someday we shall dine at table. And this is what Jesus said. Someday we shall dine at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of God's people in the kingdom of heaven. And someday we shall be like Jesus, for we shall see him as he is. Yes, Jesus is coming again as he promised. And on that day, we shall live together with him in glory. That's what Paul says in verse 10. Jesus died for us. He died on the cross. He suffered. He shed his blood. He made atonement for our souls. He died. He paid the price in full for our redemption. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, so it doesn't make any difference. He says the same thing back at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When Jesus comes again of that day and hour, no one knows but only God the Father. So on that day, it doesn't really matter whether you and I are still walking around on planet Earth or whether we have already died and passed on. It doesn't matter whether we are awake or asleep, because here the word asleep is the Bible's way of talking about someone who has physically died. Okay? So whether we are awake or asleep, makes no difference. We may live together with Jesus. And that's good news. So that's number three. Encourage one another with the good news that Jesus is coming again. And then number four has to do with building. Build each other up. That's what Paul says in verse 11. Build each other up. Build each other up through a Christian fellowship, Bible study, and mutual prayer. But we can also build each other up by providing transportation where needed, by removing snow from someone's driveway or sidewalk, by providing a home-cooked meal, or making a phone call to someone who has just returned home from the hospital, and in other ways. So there's many different ways that you and I can build each other up as fellow believers. And that's what Paul says here. Encourage one another, and yes, build each other up. Remember, our biggest concern should not be Washington, D.C. politics. I mean, I grew up just outside of Washington, D.C., so I kind of took it for granted. But our biggest concern should not be Washington, D.C. politics, the stock market, or whether or not we will outlive this virus. Rather, are we living for Christ, and will we be ready for the day of his coming? And since we do not know the day or hour of Christ's return, we should live each day by doing what is right so that we will be ready to welcome our Savior. Now, this is how Peter puts it in 2 Peter chapter 3. And this is another place where he uses that language of a thief in the night. Peter says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be?" Since you know that Jesus is coming again. Oh, granted, you don't know the day or hour. That doesn't matter. He's coming again. What kind of people ought you to be? Here's the answer. Peter says, you ought to live holy and godly lives. Will you and I be ready for the day that Jesus comes again? We will be if in this life we are doing what God wants us to do. We are living as his children. Let us pray. Oh Lord our God, I do thank you this night, Lord, for the good news that Jesus is coming again. And though, you know, we don't have all the answers to all these questions about, you know, this or that, yet we know, Lord, that he is coming again to take us to be with himself, that where he is, there he may be also. And so, Lord, help us in this life to live in such a way that we will be ready for that day. Help us, Lord, to encourage one another and, yes, to build each other up. Be with us in this coming week. Bless us. Give us the strength we will need to persevere day by day through all the trials and temptations of life. And we will give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.